Cambridge Breakfast with Julian Clover
across our university city and South Cambridgeshire.
Cambridge 105 Radio.
Let's say good morning now to Rob Chipperfield of Cambridge 105 Radio's Gadget Guide. Morning, Rob.
Good morning, Julian. How are you?
I'm very well, thank you very much. I'm feeling nice and cosy in the studio this morning. In fact, it's so toasty that I'm slightly in danger of nodding
so
off
you're
at, some point.
On duty for the rest of the day just to keep warm, then?
Well, very possibly, yes. It's our own Studio A, our own sort of hot centre for people who want to call in and warm up. Listen,
just have to do a radio show while you're in.
Oh, that's the only drawback, yes. Well, I quite enjoy doing it, really. We've got you on to chat about gadgets in the run-up to Christmas, because I guess many people will be thinking, oh, I could buy that little thing for Christmas or ask somebody for it. So maybe if we go through a few possible items, maybe start off with home automation, because that's something which is helpful. I'm slightly concerned this could be quite expensive, though.
It doesn't have to be, and yes, it's definitely one of my sort of favourite categories as well. And it can be quite good for a bit of a stocking filler as well. So there's an awful lot that you can buy to make your home smarter, and some of it, as you say, can be quite expensive. And there's some really nice products out there, the likes of the Philips Hue smart bulbs, which look wonderful, but can be a little bit pricey, especially if you want to turn your whole house smart. But there's a couple of other ranges where you can take your existing appliances, lights, whatever, and make them smart. And there's a couple of brands that I'll call out. The first one is Shelly, S-H-E-L-L-Y, and they do a range of smart relays. They've got a few other bits and pieces as well, but the relays are the ones worth looking at. And you can take one of these and put it behind an existing light switch, or get an electrician to do it if you're not confident doing it yourself. And it will turn your existing light switch and your existing light bulb into a smart bulb that you can control with your phone or your tablet or your PC or whatever. Those start from about £15-16, and means that suddenly your light switch still works. So the classic problem with smart bulbs is that they're all well and good. You can turn them on and off with the app until some kind soul switches them off at the switch, and then you can't turn them back on again. So I really like those. Like I say, starting from about £15. Even cheaper than that, if you want to maybe make something like a table lamp or a bedside lamp smart, Sonoff, S-O-N-O-F-F, do some relays that you can actually put in the middle of the power cable of a sort of standalone device. And again, that makes that smart. Those start from about £8 each. So really, really nice things to just maybe drop in the Christmas stocking for someone who's a little bit geeky.
Yeah, that sounds rather good, actually. I kind of like the idea of reusing something which is already there rather than completely throwing it away, just giving it a bit of an upgrade. How about move into the kitchen? Kitchen gadgets. And I have to say the air fryer question here, because
I was going to say that this is the kitchen gadget of 2022, isn't it? It's the one that will save us all from spiraling electricity costs. And it kind of does, to be honest. The air fryer and the slow cooker are the two darlings of 2022, and you can get them both in the same box. Instant Pot do something, the Instant Pot Duo. It comes in at about £185, so it's not a stocking filler, but it'll probably pay for itself over some years. And that's air fryer, slow cooker, pressure cooker, various other bits and pieces. And the reason that they're claimed as being so wonderful is simply that you're heating less stuff up. If you turn your oven on, particularly if you're just cooking for one or two of you, an oven's quite a big box. It's got quite a lot of metal in it. All of that metal has to get up to 200 degrees C. Whereas an air fryer, depending on what model you get, can be a lot smaller. Therefore, it's less of it to heat up, less air inside to heat up. It's not so much the air, but it's more the sort of substance of the thing. It can get up to temperature much more quickly. And then it just has to heat your food. It doesn't have to heat a whole oven up.
That's interesting, actually. It's a good way of looking at it. We bought an air fryer a couple of months ago now, and we just rarely use the cooker anymore. You know, you can do most things. Bit of trial and error at first. Best to, you know, cut that chicken in half and have a look on the inside before you before you munch into the whole thing. But you know, that only takes a short while to work out exactly how long you need.
I suspect that'll be something that'll come over time, in the same way as some decades ago we started seeing products have microwave cooking instructions on the packaging alongside oven ones. I suspect we'll now get oven, microwave, air fryer.
That wouldn't surprise me, actually. Of course, lots of articles around. There was one, I think, in the Cambridge News yesterday with some air fryer recipes, and I'm sure sort of all the big magazines, Good Food, Good Housekeeping, and all the rest of them possibly have some recipes in as well. Now, with all that eating, then, how about some fitness tips? What's in that direction?
Well, we have to figure out just how many calories we've not burnt off after eating too much on Christmas Day. And I'm going to say Fitbit here because they're the brand that sort of defined the sector, and they're still doing very well. If what you're after is Fitbit fitness tracking as opposed to all the other smartwatch stuff, the Fitbit Inspire 2 comes in starting from about £44. And it does what it says on the tin. It will do activity tracking. It'll do step counting. It will act as a basic smartwatch as well. So you get sort of little notifications that pop up when you get an email or a WhatsApp or whatever.
And they do speak to the phone as well, don't they?
Yes, they do. Yes. So if you've got maybe the Apple Fitness ecosystem or Google's, or you know, it'll integrate with things like Strava as well for kind of when you're actually out doing a run or a walk, maybe not in this weather.
That's the app. A friend of mine just sort of constantly, you know, tells me what other great cycle ride he's been on recently.
Exactly that. So it will do activity tracking to a degree. Yeah, is not going to be as good as something like a Garmin smartwatch, but it's I was going to say a quarter of the price. It's a tenth of the price of one of the high-end Garmin smartwatches. So if you just want something that's going to do a bit better at counting your steps, counting your activities, giving you a bit of a nudge when you maybe haven't moved for an hour or two, then Fitbit Inspire 2, I think, is a good starting place in the fitness ecosystem.
Okay. Now, you mentioned briefly smartwatches. Digital assistants, I guess, sort of a slight leap from one to the other. But what can we look at there?
Again, the one that's really got the category is the Amazon Echo Range. Depending on how big you want it, there's a whole array of different devices.
I don't like the fluffy ball ones that they've brought out recently.
Those were the ones I was
sorry.
I was going to say no.
I don't like them. They look too big.
Personally, I kind of do, and it's always a trade-off of size versus sound quality. And especially if you're using it as effectively your clock radio, which I do, it woke me up to the news this morning from your good self, then it has to be a certain size to sound reasonable. The smaller ones also tend to be cheaper, which is why I had
that's possibly why I like them.
Yeah. So £27 at the moment gets you the Echo Dot. That's the smallest of the range, the fifth generation. Worth saying, Lawrence pointed this out on the Gadget Guide last night, if you've got an existing Echo device or indeed an old Kindle or any of the old Amazon devices that you don't use anymore, you can trade it in, get a bit of a discount off the new one. So
can you knock
a few more quid off, yeah.
This is interesting. I might see what I've got in the cupboard then, in which case.
Exactly. If you don't like the look of the fluffy ball, you can pay an extra 10 quid and get up to the Echo Show 5, which has a screen. It looks a little bit like a sat-nav. And that I find that quite useful for in the kitchen, because you can set a whole set of timers. So, you know, chicken timer for this many minutes, and a potato timer for this many minutes, and a remember to get the dessert out the fridge timer for this many minutes. And then it'll show you all the timers on screen at the same time. So that and a radio are kind of my two,
that's
two
a,
top
that's
uses.
A very good idea. We used to have an iPad in the kitchen, an old one, and that was kind of the problem, really. We'd sort of tried to keep it going, but gradually everything that we used it for, the app no longer worked because the software on the iPad needed updating, but we couldn't update the software on the iPad because it was too old. So I'm kind of wondering if an Echo Show for the kitchen might be a good idea.
Yeah, again, £35 at the moment, minus a trade-in if you have an old device that you can get rid of. Even if the old one doesn't work, you get less for it if it doesn't work. But even if you've got one that's broken, you can still get a couple of quid.
I'm quite liking that idea. Now, we can't do one of these things without thinking about the kids. What do they want? Well, they want everything, but what particularly can mum and dad buy them, gadget-wise? Well,
I suspect most of the above. but one that I think is really...
Get an air fryer for your child this Christmas.
Okay, maybe not that one. one that I've had my eye on, I'm just waiting for my niece and nephew to get old enough, because it's probably one for the slightly older kids, is the Turing Tumble. And it very much fits in the sort of educational side of things as well. And effectively, it's, if you think Marble Run crossed with making a computer, and I think they describe it as marble-powered computers, and it's a whole set of cogs and levers and flaps and things like that. And the idea is that you put a marble in the top, and it goes down over all of these things and ends up at the bottom, either on the left or the right. And the challenge is to arrange the cogs so that you get a certain pattern of red marbles and blue marbles on the left and the right. So you can say, maybe I want one red, one blue, one red, one blue. And so you set up all the levers and you try and get that. And then it gives you the next challenge, which is, okay, now I want one red, two blue, one red, two blue. And it turns out that you can pretty much make any computer system that you want. And when they get to the bottom, by the way, they can trigger the next marble coming down. You make any computer system within the kind of constraints of the size using marbles and little plastic levers and cogs. And I think it's such an amazing idea that I wish it had existed when I was a kid.
Well, I think I'm very tempted to buy one for my nephew on the grounds that I can go around them and play with it. That's
well,
exactly.
Fab. Exactly. Show him how it works.
Well, precisely. You know, box might be a bit damaged when he gets it, but you know.
Yeah, just checking. Quality control.
That sounds fab, Rob. Thank you so much for going through all of those with us.
No problem at all.
Cambridge 105 Radio.